You know, the Bible says and tells us in Ephesians 2:8, it says, by grace you have been saved through faith. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:18 that the gospel is the power of God to us who are being saved. And it also says that salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Romans 13:11. The Christian idea of salvation relates to the past, to the present, and to the future. It's related to some things that I've been studying lately also about this idea of dying and dying to self. You know, the Bible is very clear, and it's kind of a mystery, but it says we have died. But it also says we are dying. And it says that the death that we have a future death in the body before we're actually glorified. So it's this concept of past, present, and future. It's the same with salvation. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. At every stage, we're saved by the death of Christ. In the past, once for all, our sins were paid for by Christ Himself. We were justified by faith alone. And in the present, right now, as we sit here, the death of Christ is securing for us the power of God's Spirit to save us progressively in what we call sanctification from the domination and contamination of sin that still remains in us. And in the future, it will be the blood of Christ, which scriptures record for us that He poured out on the cross, that will protect us from the wrath of God and bring us to perfection and joy. And this is going to be the focus of preparing our hearts this morning. There is a real judgment coming. We hear a lot about how God is a God of love, and that's true. I fear that we don't hear enough about hell and God's wrath from the pulpit today. It's not a pleasant subject, but it is real. And we know that because God has revealed it to us in His Word. The Bible describes a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. In Hebrews 10:27, another portion of Hebrews in chapter 12 says that we are to live with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. John the Baptist warned the people of his day to flee from the wrath to come. And why? For Jesus Himself will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 and 9. Some pictures of this final wrath of God are almost too terrible to ponder. And ironically, it is John, who's known as the Apostle of Love, who gives us the most graphic glimpses of hell. Those who reject Christ and give their allegiance to another, it tells us, will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of His anger, and will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Jesus Christ, and He alone, saves us from this wrath. Without Him, we will be swept away forever. So as the men pass out the elements, I want us to savor the saving working of Christ in your life, because you've been spared from this, and I've been spared from this. We wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Hebrews 9:28 records for us that Christ, having been offered for sins once for all, to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. Are you eagerly waiting for Him this morning? Sin was dealt with once for all. No new sacrifice is needed. Our shield from future wrath is as sure as the sufferings of Christ in our place. Did Christ suffer in your place this morning? If He did, then do you believe that you've been shielded from His future wrath? The deeper that we go into the gospel, the more we will comprehend and we will confess aloud the depth of our sinfulness. A gruesome death like the one that Christ endured for us would only be required for we who are exceedingly sinful and totally incapable and unable on our own to appease a holy God. So consequently, whenever we consider the necessity, the purpose, and the manner of how He died, and it's always been a mystery to me of why God the Father wanted to crush and inflict such a painful, gruesome, cruel death. When we consider the necessity and manner of that, along with the love and selflessness behind it, we have to be laid bare and we have to be utterly exposed for the sinners that we are. If you contemplate the manner of how Christ died and you don't get a sense for the ugliness of our sin, then that's a matter of prayer. But it doesn't have to end there, because we know that we're sinners redeemed by the blood of Christ. We've been forgiven of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace which He lavished upon us richly. So therefore, don't let this awareness of your sinfulness keep dragging you down. I have done some very, very, very bad things in my life. And so have you. And I will probably continue to do some very, very bad things in my life, though I don't want to. And I could let that get me down as well. But I don't need to. And I shouldn't. And it's at this very moment, when I think about that and when you think about that, then let's let this act of worship that we call communion actually serve to lift us up rather than drag us down by magnifying our appreciation of God's saving grace in our life. Yes, you should ponder and meditate on your sin, but you shouldn't stop there. You should let that develop then into a gratefulness and a joy and a thankfulness that you've been delivered from this description of the wine of God's wrath poured full strength into the cup of His anger. You've been spared from that. I've been spared from that. Praise God. And we eat this bread and we drink this cup every Sunday as a reminder of what Christ did for us to deliver us from this. The more that you and I appreciate the magnitude of God's forgiveness of our sins, the more we love Him and delight to show Him love through genuine heartfelt expressions of worship. So as we eat this bread and we drink this cup in remembrance of Christ's death for the sake of the cross, then let us exult in grace of the cross, past, present, and future. Jesus, it says for us that when He had taken some bread and He had given thanks, He broke it and He gave it to the disciples, and He gives it to us this morning, saying that this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And it says that in the same way He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in My blood. So let us drink this in remembrance.